Blog Talk Radio. Yolanda Adams this morning, and I'm going to be ready. Yeah, because daily I am preparing to go back with him when he comes. I'm preparing for whatever come my way. I will run to him. I will trust him today with all my heart and lean not to mine own understanding. In all my ways, I will acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. If I just, you know, refuse to be wise in my own eyes and fear him and depart from evil, hallelujah, he will take it up and make it better, and I'm ready. Thank you, Jesus. I'm ready to do these things. Today, our topic is stop, release it unto God. Stop, release it unto God. Because many times things come our way and we don't stop. We keep it going. We try to run over here and fix it. That don't work. We run over there and try to fix it. That we just keep it going. But if we could stop and focus on God, stop and focus on God's word, his word. Yeah, because his word is true and it gives life. That first word, stop. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Stop listening to negative thoughts. And stop listening to church leadership that is not teaching truth. Sometimes we're looking at the wrong God. Luke 7 and 20, when the men were coming to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? No, we don't have to look no further. He's the one, Almighty God, Jehovah, that have all power. There's no higher power today. And if we're looking at all power and all power, we got to remember is on our side in spite of us. He's yet looking beyond our fault, yet meeting our needs. He count us worthy today. Hallelujah. So if we can just stop and whatever's going on, release it unto God and walk away. Yeah, I have some friends in California that always say, you know what I remember about you? I say, what? They say, you always say, let it go. Let it go. And some people don't want to let go, and they teach other people not to let go. But if God is going to do it, you got to let it go. Because if you're going to fix it, he'll walk away, which you can't. If he's going to fix it, you got to walk away. And occupy until he comes. Yeah, find someone you can help until God fix your situation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, we're going to our daily prayer this morning. And after prayer, we're coming back with a short song. And we're going to our scriptures of the day and get started on stop, release. Stop, release. Let it go unto God. Let God have your problems. Be anxious for nothing. All things through prayer and supplications. Yeah, again, make your request known unto God. Walk away because you left it on the altar before him. You left it before his throne. He see it. And he won't forget you. If he's not moving right away, that don't mean no. If he didn't move on it right away, you thought it was such an emergency. But if he didn't move on it right away, it's not unto death. Nobody can take what he gives. And nobody can come against him. So if they think they're coming against you, no, they're coming against him. And we must believe this and keep walking in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this Thursday morning. And Father, we ask that God, you would look down upon us this morning. And that Father, whatever is going on today, you would fix it. We thank you this morning that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We thank you this morning that we can ask you to look upon it. We can ask you to fix it. We thank you this morning. We appreciate you. We're grateful unto you. Father, we love you this morning. again and again and again and again. It was you who first loved us. For you are love. And Father, we thank you for your loving. We thank you for loving each of us. We thank you for looking beyond each of our faults, yet meeting our needs. We thank you that you're on each one of us, each one side today, in spite of us. Father, we thank you that we can cast our cares upon you, for you careth for us. We thank you this morning that you so loved us, you sent your only begotten Son, that if we believe on him, we won't perish but have everlasting life. We thank you this morning, Father, that he suffered, he hung, he bled, he died. He conquered all and rose with all power. We thank you this morning because, Father, you had us in mind. And before we were saved, when we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. And we are thankful unto you this morning. Oh, we can't say thank you enough. We thank you that we can look to the hills from which cometh our help. Father, all of our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. We thank you this morning that you saved us. You set us aside unto yourself. You sanctified us, cleaned us up, and you filled us with your Spirit. Father, you gave us your word. We're thankful unto you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all the spiritual things you've given unto us. You made us for your pleasure, and you made us with a mind that we can believe, that we can have faith. You gave each of us a measure of faith. Thank you this morning. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. Father, you've given us more than we need because you're more than God. But we bow down before you this morning as you're looking upon us. And Lord, we ask that you would give us a heart and a mind that whatever comes our way that's not of you, that we will stop, release it unto you, walk away in faith, believing that God, you've already taken care of it. Lord, our heart's desires this morning, help us to make our request known unto you and walk away. We have not because we ask not. And Father, we are asking you, the great God, Jehovah, that have all power. And Father, as we seek you, we know that you're able to give heart desires. Some want a better car. Some want a newer car. Some want a better house. Some want a newer house. Some want a better paying job. Lord, whatever it is, some standing in need of finances. Some standing in need of healing this morning. There's so many things we as people stand in need of. And Father, we are your people. And it's you that supply for us according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We don't make your ATM, Father. We don't make your money machine. We don't make your bank, Lord, but we make you our God, our Heavenly Father. You're our Father. And whatever we need, we come to you because we don't want to lean to our own understanding. Father, in all our ways, we want to acknowledge you, allowing you to direct our path. We don't want to be wise in our own eyes. We want to fear you and depart from evil, whatever evil we may be doing, whatever is against you that we may be doing, we want to depart from it. We no longer want to do it. We want to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you, Almighty God. And this morning, Father, we bow down and ask that you would forgive us for all our sins and wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, and our wrong feelings. And Father, sins forgotten and not forgotten, whatever they may be, wrongdoings that we've forgotten and we may not have forgotten. Lord, we ask for forgiveness this morning in the name of Jesus. And we thank you this morning. We give you glory, honor, and praise for forgiving us. You said, come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laden, and you would give rest. And Lord, many times our wrongdoings, our sins, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, our wrong feelings, they're a burden to us. It may be a habit we have that's a burden. Maybe a thorn in our side and it's a burden. We bring it before you this morning in the name of Jesus. It make us heavy laden. And we're looking to you for rest. We give it all to you this morning, whatever it may be, in the name of Jesus. And anything that's keeping us from focusing on you, from keeping us from walking according to your word today, Father, we give it all to you in the name of Jesus. And asking that you would wash us clean in your blood. Make us over in you. Give us a clean heart today, O God. And renew the right spirit within us. Help us to walk in the spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Father, you've been good to us. Oh, you've blessed us over and over again. You've made ways. You've supplied our needs. You've given us our wants. Help us to be faithful unto you this day. Help us to give you our whole heart and trust you in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you this morning and we thank you. Again, we're grateful unto you. And Father, we appreciate you. Every call and every listener this morning, every household represented here, family and friends near and far, Father, we ask that you would bless today. We ask that you would fix every situation in their lives that need fixing, those coming through the archives and the podcast as well. Do it for us today in the name of Jesus. Father, those that stand in need of finances, I ask that you would send uncommon finances their way today. Lord, help them today to have more than. And help them to remember those who don't have. Those that they know who can need a blessing, Lord, use their hearts and minds to remember and to give, for you love a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for Jesus in the morning. And we ask today that you would bless this segment and move in a mighty way here for the sake of your people. Feed us here today your word until we want no more. Father, we ask for understanding. We ask for knowledge and we ask for wisdom right here. What you're speaking to us, give it to us, Lord, that we'll walk up right before you, that we are able to work in the vineyard and share with others in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you this morning. And Father, I ask that you would send more here to hear what you have to say to the church. And Lord, those that have not believed, those that are not saved, send God so they can hear from you and make a decision and stand up and say, what must I do to be saved? Like they did on the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Or do it here today. Save the unsaved. Lord, there may be those who are in backslidden states. God, we ask that you would renew your marriage with them. Renew your vows with them today and let them renew theirs with you in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask today that, again, that you would grow here, increase the territory here. Father, send the finances that's needed to increase and whatever needs to be done. We're leaning and depending on you. Can't do anything without you. Oh, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, your supplier, hallelujah, of need. Thank you, Father. We thank you today. Father, we come asking that you would heal. Heal the sick here. Those that are under the weather, feeling bad. Those that have gotten some diagnosis from the doctor. Lord, we ask today that you would heal. It's you that heal all manner of sickness and disease. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. And we thank you this morning for your healing power. And we thank you for healing us today. Father, we ask that you would bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military, widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers, preaching in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And obedience unto you today and love for your people. Bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Continue to loose your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect them, Father. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Bless our brothers and sisters everywhere overseas. Lord, they need you today. Without you, they can't make it. And Father, I ask that you would send clarity, send understanding of your word, or in the name of Jesus. Send knowledge and wisdom in the name of Jesus. Their way, O God, that they will walk upright before you daily, and they are prepared for your return in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would continue to bless America, because it's messed up, O God. It's messed up. And nobody but you can fix it. Lord, we ask that you would fix America, fix the Americans' heart, fix the leadership heart, and regulate their minds this day in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And Father, we ask it all again this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and hallelujah. Whatever we forgot, Father, we ask that you would take it up today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and hallelujah. We thank God this morning for his word. For his word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Forever, O God, that word is settled in heaven. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, because we know that his word holds true on the earth. And there's none like him. And he loves us today. And he wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be happy. Yeah, no need in us moping around. Some people pray and say, I want the Lord to come on back. I'm tired of going. No need for that. He take care of the lilies of the field, the birds of the air. We're worth more, much more to him. So he will really and truly take care of us. Hallelujah. So we're thankful unto him this morning. We're grateful unto him. And those of us that love him, we want to stretch out in him and show him as much as possible, because we could never, I believe, show him just really all the love that he deserves. But he'll be satisfied if we'll do what's pleasing and acceptable unto him, if we'll be obedient unto his word and unto him, because obedience is better than the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank him because he made it easy for us. When I look back and I see what the people had to do, you had to sacrifice cows and sheep and doves and chickens, I guess, all kind of stuff you had to do. And you had to work hard because you had to have a farm to do these things. And today, it's basically been moved out. There's a lot of cities where there are no animals allowed, horses, cows, none of that is allowed. And God changed that thing around and made it easy for us. There was 10 commandments. He turned the 10 into 2. And I want to remember to bring those 2 back to you and show you the difference between the 10 and the 2. If you do the 2, you've done all 10. He's that kind of God. He'll make it easy for us. Look what he did. Sent his only begotten son so that we would have a right to the tree of life, so that he could redeem us with our evil, no good self back to him. That's love this morning. That's how much he loves us. He made us for his pleasure. After he made us, it pleased him. But he found out, not that he didn't know, but he brought it to the light. Man is full of evil. He'll always have that trait. So it takes the blood of Jesus to keep us straight. It takes faith in Jesus to keep us straight. It takes faith in the word of God to keep us straight. If we don't stay in the word, we'll fall. It's like being fed. If I don't get them vegetables, I don't get something in me for my bones. I don't get something in me, a calcium for teeth and bone. I'll die. I don't get water. I'll die. Do you know even our bodies have to have water? That's why you take a bath or shower. Even the body, the outward part, deserves to be to have water being put inside through washing and rinsing in water. Oh, yeah. It's a huge process. But we thank God this morning. He blessed us as human beings to know these things. Yeah. He has blessed us. And so we're grateful unto him. We're not against nobody. We're not judging nobody. Because we're focused on him. We're focused in his word. And I put it out on Facebook today that when we think on these things, want to remind us whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever brings a good report. When we focus on these things, let me tell you what it does. It'll take gossip from you. See, you're not thinking the gossip because you're thinking on these good things. It'll take lying from you. You're not thinking the lie because you're thinking on these good things. It takes focus to walk this walk. Yeah. Because the enemy come to kill, steal, and destroy. And something is always coming up. But God has blessed each one of us with a mind, with a heart. We can be in tune with him and in tune in the world. Yeah, I can be working and in tune to God. I can be cooking and in tune to him. I can be driving my car and talking to him. Hallelujah. Yeah, I can be doing laundry and talking to him. He made it possible for us. And so we are so thankful this morning unto him. Hallelujah. We talked Tuesday from Matthew, the 4th chapter, where Jesus had come out to fast and he went out and found disciples. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Yeah. And then he told us some things in that that would bless us if we paid attention and if we stay focused. It will be all right today in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah. So look, another thing, another scripture I wanted to take a look at today, and that's Matthew's chapter 5. A lot of people call it the Beatitudes. Blessed of this and blessed of that. Yeah, we want to look at that. And it's only, 48. It's only 48 verses, but we can read them, and I won't stop and really just, you know, expound on them, as they say, but we'll just read. But these are things we need to get in our hearing and our listening. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. The more we hear the word and in tune to it, the more we're apt to follow it, to obey it. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank him this morning. So we're going to this one more song of the morning, a request. And when we come back, we'll come back talking more about stop, release it unto God. Stop, release it unto God. Hallelujah. And it's already all right. We're going with this one this morning, and it won't play all the way through, but I'll play as much as possible of the request.
This next song is a favorite of mine because I stop and think of why I love Jesus. And the first thing that comes to mind is I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he looked beyond my faults and he sees all of my needs. I love him because in spite of Edward, he still loves me. I love him because he meets every need. And not only the need, but he supplies and gives me my heart's desire. Saints, you know a lot of things we don't even need. We don't even need them, but just because we want them, God gives them to us. Hallelujah. Pray for us as we come with, Lord, I love you.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, I love you. Oh, yeah, I thank God for that song. I like it a whole bunch. Yeah, because I love him today. Again, it was him that first loved me. And when I tell you, he showed me daily his love for me. Not only does he hear, but he answered my prayers. And so I'm so thankful unto this prayer answering God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can't help but tell him thank you because he's been good to me. Day and night, he's been good to me. Yeah, when I don't deserve it, he yet give it to me. And so I'm thankful. And again, this morning we are talking about stop, release it unto God. Yeah, stop yourself and let God have it. He's the one who can fix it all. I know we try, we done did a lot of stuff. We do this way. It don't work that way. We do it that way. It don't work that way. We do it another way. It don't work that way. We just keep on trying to fix it when we can't. Only he can. Yeah. He's the God that can do it for us. And so we're thankful unto him. We appreciate him. And we love him this morning. And we want God to be pleased with us. Not because we deserve it or, you know, this is something that will make us look good in his eyes. No, he's deserving. And so we want to do it because God deserves it. We want to do it because it's right to do right. We want to do it because we love him. Yeah, we love him. And anybody know anything about love? If you love somebody, you give them your all. What? They can do wrong. You still going to give them your all. Why? You love them. Feel they're worthy of it. They need it. They should have it. So this is what we do. And so we're thankful unto Almighty God this morning that we can do these things. So I wanted to just read the Beatitudes, as they call them, and then move on. I want to say this too. I was in another window, and I didn't get into this one until like 7 minutes after seven. And I'm like, what's going on? So I was late logging in to the show this morning. But we are here, and we are blessed. And I'm so thankful. I was away yesterday. I had an appointment, early morning appointment. I thought, let me put it that way, and found out it wasn't early morning. So anyway, I had to reschedule for a much later date. And it's okay. It's okay today in Jesus' name. But I wanted to share that a little bit to let you know what's going on. They call it transparency this day. I just call it telling the truth, okay? It is what it is. And here, I don't edit nothing. I don't fix up nothing. On most of my Facebook pages, they're public. Yeah, because I'm not a liar, and I'm not like most people. There's nothing for me to really hide, you know. So I don't have to be careful, and I'm not all that private, because I'm not going to do nothing that I need to hide, so I can be open. I belong to God. Yeah, and he takes good care of anything that's concerning me. Yeah. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ that loved me today. Hallelujah. And I enjoy sharing. Yeah, and I thank God I'm that kind of person. And I thank him that he keeps me safe. Yeah, I can't keep myself. And he don't keep me against his will, against my will. He keeps me because I want to be kept by God. Hallelujah. Jehovah, thank you, Jesus. We give him glory this morning. We give him the honor and we give him the praise. Anybody see this new time? It's like it took feet and started running. I mean, that time is getting on away from here. I look up at 6 o'clock in the evening. I'm like, what? Yeah. 7 o'clock. Time is running, it appears. Hallelujah. For we know the one who is time. And so we're thankful unto him. Okay, listen, I'm sorry. I want to get one more request out of here this morning. And after this one, we're coming right back. Hallelujah, Bishop Roberson, and the power, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's an old song right there from way back in the day. And when I was a girl, we used to sing that. And we sang it a different way. But nonetheless, it somewhat had the same words. And so we thank God this morning for good gospel music, music that will cause us to be inspired, to be lifted up, to praise and worship him. Again, this morning, he is more than worthy of it. Yeah, all we can give him and more. So listen, we're looking at chapter 5 of Matthew. And we're remembering this today. Stop, release it unto God. Stop, release it unto God. Because there's nothing you can do with it. You can't change it. You can't fix it. You can't remove it. But he can. He can take care of it. But you got to trust him. You got to give it to him and let go. Yeah, let it go. Because holding on to it just brings more misery. It brings stress, anxiety, all of these things because the enemy is in there. Yeah, and he's stirring it up more. But when we give it to the Lord and walk away, if he told you to do something, obey it. Do what he said. It may not feel good to you, but it is good for you. Yeah. And so we're thankful this morning again unto him. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, and we're starting at the first verse. And we're going to read on down, and I may not say nothing else but just read the scripture. Hallelujah. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountains, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. If we remember in chapter 4, the ending of chapter 4, after he was done over there, he went out, and there followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. They followed Jesus, because remember, he had healed all these sick people. Yeah, he had taken, well, let's read it. His fame went out. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. So the multitude, a great multitude, it says, of people followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Oh, they was on him. They was on him because they saw he had the blessings. So now in verse 1 of chapter 5 is telling us, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountains. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And that word that I found out, it means to criticize in an abusive or angry, insulting manner, revile. Some people know what that feels like because people have come against them like that. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. 16 says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, verse 22, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou remembrest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge and the judge deliver thee to the officer and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. 36 says, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. 37 says, but let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46 says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others do, not even the publican so? 48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's Matthew chapter 5. And they taught me these were the Beatitudes. And these are the things that we want to be daily, because these type things pleases God. It's his word. He inspired man to write it. So if we obey it, we are going to be blessed. Yeah. And again, we're still talking about stop, release it unto God. Let it go. Stop leaning on your own understanding. Stop thinking you can work it out. Stop thinking you done figured it out. No way. Everything you go to do with it, the door is closed. Because without God, we can do nothing. We take it to him, leave it on the altar, trusting and believing him. He'll do it for you, but you got to believe. And it may take some time, so we let patience have her perfect work. We don't rush God, because he sees what's going on. It's not going to take us under. They're not going to take anything from us. Because he heard you the first time. And he already put some things in place at the perfect time to bless you. Yeah. We want to stop listening to negative thoughts. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Stop listening to negative church leadership. Because many times we know it's not the truth, but pastor said it. It must be somewhere in the Bible. No. Nope. I'm not going with all this stuff. And again, this morning, sometimes we're looking at the wrong God. We done made the pastor God. We done made the supervisor God. We done made our car God, our house, our everything. I've been to people's house and they say, oh, no, I don't want them in here on my furniture. Oh, no, I don't want them tearing my house up. Now, these are the kind of people that they're really not used to anything in my book. It's okay to keep your house up. It's okay to keep it clean. But just don't lose your mind over it here. Don't lose your mind over the little car God gave you. He got much better. Oh, no, wipe your feet off before you get in my car. What? Yeah. Don't leave nothing in my car. What? Oh, you got these kind of people. And you got some people so clean because they got some kind of disorder in their mind. Oh, they can't be still. They can't sit down either. They're constantly going, constantly going. That's not God. Those are spirits, and they are not good spirits. It's not the Holy Ghost, I can tell you that. It's not the Holy Spirit. So look, I have one more we want to look at, and that's Luke chapter 7 and verse 20. Chapter 7 and verse 20. When the men were come unto him, they said, John a Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, thou art he that should come. Or look we for another. In other words, John said, you're the Christ, you're the Savior of the world. If you're not, should we look for him to come? Or should we continue to look? I say this today, he's already come. And now what we do, we look to the hills from which cometh our help. Again, this morning, all of our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. We look to Jehovah. We carry our petition to the mediator, which is his son, Jesus Christ. We take our petition to him, and he carried to the Father. And I believe because the son bring it, not only will the Father look at it but and hear it, but he's going to answer it because he know his son know him, and his son is not just going to bring trash to the Father. He's going to bring prayers of substance. And it is already all right in Jesus' name. Listen, I have a testimony I want you to listen to today. And when I promise you what this man said, his name is Dean Baxter. Dean said he was dead for 1 hour and 45 minutes and went to heaven. And what Dean explains, when I tell you I can see it spiritually, it's the 100% truth. I believe that. So I want you to take a listen. Try not to go to sleep on it if you can. Try to focus on it if possible. But I want you to hear Dean this morning. Because I know it's early morning and the talking and the music. Sometimes it get the best of us and we land down and we nod on out. We need it. We need some rest. And sometimes this is a place where people come to sleep. Because it's soothing for them over here. The Spirit of the Lord is rocking them and yeah, they're going to sleep. But this morning, if at all possible, I want you to hear Dean Baxter. Braxton. Dean Braxton is his name. Yeah, I want you to take a listen to this.
And they literally pushed the poison into my bloodstream, or the infection into my bloodstream, and I became what you call septic. And according to the medical records, that impacted 29 different things in my body. And I died for, according to the medical records, again, an hour and 45 minutes. My heart and my lungs were not operating during that time. I was considered what you call clinically dead. I suffocated. That's what really happened. The poison went into my lungs, and I couldn't breathe any longer. It was the worst death for me that I could have died. All of a sudden, I say on the inside of me, I'm going home. And joy, peace, comfort came all over me. I always thought it was my body would die and then my spirit would leave. It was my spirit left and then my body died. You know, I've heard other people say there was an angel by them. He took him. He didn't have to take me. I knew how to get there. I had the best GPS on the inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit. He knows how to get there.
I said, if there was an angel, I left him behind because I knew where I was going.
Hi, welcome to Touching the Afterlife. In 2006, Dean Braxton clinically died for an hour and 45 minutes and went to heaven. And he's here with us today to share his experience. Dean, thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a great honor.
Oh, it's lovely to have you and to have you share your story with us today.
Thank you.
Dean, I know that in 2006, you went to the hospital for a kidney stone.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes, 2006. I always like to say today, May 5th, mainly because those that are from Mexico, that's Cinco de Mayo. So I like to always point that out. What happened was I went to May 4th, but May 5th is when they did the operation to break up the stone. The kidney stone that was on the inside of me. I also had a kidney infection, which is normal when you usually have a kidney stone because it blocks your bladder and things fester during that time. And they gave me antibiotics that they thought would work on making sure that that infection was gone by the time they did the operation. No one went back to check to make sure it was gone. So after they blasted the stone, they literally pushed the poison into my bloodstream, or the infection into my bloodstream, and I became what you call septic. And according to the medical records, that impacted 29 different things in my body. And I died for, according to the medical records, again, an hour and 45 minutes, you know. And so my heart and my lungs were not operating during that time. I was considered what you call clinically dead at that moment. And so that's what took place on May 5th, I get to tell you something else. I love to say this part. It's hard for me not even to say it, is that I was born again. I knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I always say I had the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of me. So when this happened, I got to go to be with the Father and Jesus in heaven. And I tried to downplay it to a little bit because people think, wow, you got to go to heaven and everything. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, if you're born again, you're going too. You know, that's what happens to Christians. So I really love to really point that out. This is the norm. Coming back was not the norm. Okay.
Right.
Going was.
Oh, wow. So tell us about when you went. So what did that feel like? What happened when you started or clinically
well,
died?
Well, you know, when I realized I was dying, there were several processes that took place. you know, I always tell people 99% of everything I experience, I can find in the Word of God. I didn't know that these processes would take place, but the Bible says they would. I really found them after I came back to the planet that they were in the Bible. But the first process that really hit me is I suffocated. That's what really happened. The poison went into my lungs, and I couldn't breathe any longer. And I remember going through that process of not being able to breathe. It was the worst death for me that I could have died. And the reason I say that is because I almost drowned as a little kid, and I had the trauma of what it was like not to be able to breathe. Even after I became born again, it was the number one way I did not want to leave the planet. And here I am because of the poison hitting my lungs and my lungs shutting down. I was having a hard time breathing. I can remember gasping for air. And instead of me panicking and being hysterical about it, what took place was this, and I'm still amazed by it. All of a sudden, inside of me, and I'm laying down, they're rushing me from one room to another room. This is after the operation. And all of a sudden, I say on the inside of me, I'm going home. And joy, peace, comfort came all over me. And what I meant by that, I was going to be with the Father and Jesus in heaven. And I just remember the joy and the peace and the comfort that came all over me. Is it all right if I just share where that is in the Bible? Because I didn't know it was going to happen that way. You know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, I came to understand something, that he did a lot for us that we don't even understand, but we get the benefits of it anyway. And one of them is what I just explained to you, that joy and that peace coming over me, not having any fear at all. It's found in Hebrews, the second chapter, the 14th through the 15th verse. And I want to read it to you. And it says it this way. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he likewise shared in their humanity, so that through death he could destroy the one who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and set free those who were held in slavery all their lives by their fear of death. I didn't know when he died on that cross that he would take my fear of death away from me. And it hit me. I was not afraid at that moment. All I could think about is, I am going home. And I had this joy, this peace, this comfort came all over me. You know, that was one of the things that I learned in leaving the planet, as I call it. I didn't call it leaving the planet before. I called it dying. But since I've had the experience, now it's leaving the planet. And the second thing that hit me was I always thought it was my body would die and then my spirit would leave. And it wasn't that way. It was my spirit left, and then my body died. And that really got me, even after I got back, because I'm thinking, I didn't really die. My body died, but I didn't die. And people say, you died. I'm thinking, I never died. I didn't even feel the whatever you would feel at that moment of dying. I remember I was always alive. There wasn't even a transition. Someone said, you transition from this planet or from this world to that world. No, I just left my body. And the Bible even says it in several areas. And one of them, I'm telling you, was really amazing because I'm a Bible reader and I was reading. It says, found in James, the second chapter, the 26th verse, it says, faith without works is dead, just like the body is dead without the spirit. And when I read that, I said, oh, your spirit has to leave first, and then your body dies. Yeah. And then in Genesis, the second chapter, it really got me. I read it one time, and I was reading it like normal. And all of a sudden, I read that part where God makes Adam, and as he made Adam, he brings in him. He puts a spirit inside of him before the body is alive. So I thought, wow. And even Jesus said he gave up his spirit, and then his body died when he was on the cross. I thought, Lord, you are so good. And then the scripture that says this, you know, we would not experience the sting of death. Now I understood it, that when Jesus was on that cross, he died our death. I could go on. But I just want to read this one scripture. It says it. Again, I tell people all the time, I found this in the Word of God. And it was like, I didn't know it was in there. Until later on, it's found in Hebrews, the second chapter again, the 9th verse. But we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that by God's grace, he would experience death on behalf of everyone. What I should have experienced at that moment, Jesus Christ experienced on the cross so that I did not have to experience it. You know, that was the other thing that took place during that process of what you just asked. And the third one I'd like to say is when I left my body, how fast I left. The Bible says to be absent for the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. It was faster than the speed of sound. You're hearing my voice right now. It's faster than the speed of light. You see in my face right now. It's like the Bible says we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It's talking about the end, but it says that. That's how fast it was that I was with Jesus and the Father. And that was, for me, amazing too. You know, those three processes of leaving the planet are some people call dying. Mm-hmm. I experienced.
Wow. So you felt no fear.
Yeah.
It was no pain.
No pain.
Quickly escorted. Now, were you escorted? Yeah. Did you go straight to heaven?
I'm glad you brought that up. I was not escorted at all. You know, I've heard other people say there was an angel by them and he took them. He didn't have to take me. I knew how to get there. I always tell people I had the best GPS on the inside of me. It's the Holy Spirit. He knows how to get there. I said, if there was an angel, I left him behind because I knew where I was going.
So. Oh, wow. So tell us about that journey there and what, of course, you saw.
You know, going there was really something. Just like I said, I wasn't escorted there. I didn't have no angel say, ding, if you see this star, make sure you go to the right because the left goes to a different place. You know, I'm headed there. What was before me? And I remember it vivid to this day. I remember seeing this light before me. It looked like a window. It wasn't a window, but that's the best way I could describe it. And I'm headed to that light because I know that's where the Father and Jesus is. And I leave my hospital room. I go through the floors. I hit the sky, and it's a blue day on that day. And I hit the outer space, you know, with the stars going by the planets. And then I hit this realm that's just dark. And I believe that's where many of my colleagues that have experienced it, they say they entered into that tunnel and all they could see was the light at the end of the tunnel. I could see that window before me. And as I was headed to that window, all of a sudden I noticed on both sides of me, these lights that were passing me by, they looked like shooting stars, but they weren't shooting stars. Later on, I just realized they were the prayers that people were praying for me and others. The actual prayers that people were praying were beating me into heaven. And I said, whoa. And I'll be honest, when I got back to Earth later on and I was laying in my bed, I thought this thought, why did the prayers beat me to heaven? Almost like, God, why did you have prayers go faster than me? Didn't you want me there? That's what I was thinking at the time. But then I'm a Bible reader and I'm reading in the Bible and I come across this Bible, this verse in 1 Peter 3:17 that says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers. And I remember reading that and thinking, God, you want to hear from us. You want us to talk to you. And then the next thing that got me again, it comes out of Genesis, the second chapter. When he made Adam, Eve was not created. He gave Adam a voice and a mouth. And it wasn't to talk to the animals. It was to talk to him. Our very mouth and our very voice was created for God Almighty. And I thought, why wouldn't our prayers go faster than us? He wants us to talk to him. So that was really something to see them going past me. And it was like I was in my stream because if I looked to the right, there was more prayers that way. And if I looked to the left, there was more prayers that way. But it seemed like I was in the stream of prayers that people were praying for me because, you know, I had a lot of people praying on the planet that I would not leave the planet, especially my wife, you know. And I was headed in that stream into heaven. And I just remember when I got in there, you want me to go on? Because I can tell you what it was like to get in. It was, oh, man.
Of course. I just want to say that when I've heard that story from you about the prayers, that stood out because he hears every cry, every prayer. And even when we don't feel like it, he is closer and he wants to hear from us.
Yeah, you're right. You know, one of the things that I could point out a whole lot about prayers because you learn a lot when you go through this about how communication to God is done. But one of the things I didn't know was our prayers don't have an expiration date or a time limit on them. They literally, God is looking to answer our prayers, even when we don't think he is. Sometimes we don't think he's answering a prayer. And I really believe there's sometimes we're not ready for the answer. Sometimes people say, well, I pray for God to heal me. I don't know why it's not happening when it's happening. I won't blame the person that it's not happening to. I just won't do that. But the reality of it is I know that our prayers don't have a shelf life. to the point that if someone in your family prayed for you generations ago, that God will still be active on that prayer, even though you didn't exist at that moment. You know, and one of the scriptures I use to even support that is found in Acts, the 10th chapter, when this man named Cornelius has an angel that comes to him and starts talking to him. And he says, your prayers and your good deeds are a memorial before God. And of course, I'm curious, what does memorial mean? It means remembrance. God is remembering our prayers to answer them, even if we're not existing at the moment. And what I mean by that, I really believe grandmothers, I'm not saying grandpas don't do it, but grandmothers pray for generations. They seem to always pray for generation after generation before they even exist. And I believe that God is honoring those prayers from those people in the past to pray for those that when they are existing, he starts moving in their lives over those prayers that were prayed a long time ago.
Oh,
you know?
That is so good.
And so that's one of the things I love to share with people. You may not see it. You may not even feel it. But God is going to honor that prayer, you know, because he wants to, you know. And when I entered into heaven, the prayers went to the Father. I came in, and when I entered in, all I remembered, you know, even telling you now, and some people say, oh, that was a long time ago. You go to heaven and come back and see if it doesn't seem like it happened like that moment you're talking about it. It's not like it happened that long ago. It's like, oh, I'm still experiencing it. But when I came in, this is one of the things that hit me right off the bat. Everything was right, and I fit. You know, I don't know how to describe it to people because, you know, I go a lot of places. I live in Virginia right now, and I've gone to minister to a lot of people in politics, and they have a lot of, protocols. I don't know all the protocols. I feel uncomfortable many times when I go because I have to look around and see how everybody else is doing it. And I'll tell you something. When I got to heaven, I fit so well that I didn't have to look around and see how everybody was doing it. I knew I fit. Everything was right. There was nothing wrong, and I fit. And the greatest thing about it, it wasn't according to what I say it's right. It was according to what he says it's right. You know, that Bible verse that says we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I know what it really means.
So it was like your senses, tell us about that. Your senses could feel more heightened as far as love, and you felt like you were home. Kind of walk us through the experiences through your senses and what you saw.
You know, you have the five senses, and I came to understand our five senses on the planet is inhibited mainly by our own flesh and our own thinking. Because this flesh was not there, my body was still on the planet. You know, it was dead. I was not connected to it any longer. My senses could be everything that God really created to believe to be. I really believe this is the senses that Adam and Eve had before the fall. You know, I could see. In the English, I say mouse, maybe so, and metro or something like that. But I could see. Wow, could I see? I could see the most detailed thing on any place, anywhere when I was in heaven. I could hear. There was nothing impeding my hearing. Most of us don't realize once my voice leaves my mouth, it starts deteriorating. In heaven, it doesn't deteriorate at all. I could feel things that were really alive. And it was like everything about me was not just feeling it, but grasping it, understanding it. You know, taste and smell. Let me tell you something. Heaven has a taste and it has a smell. And it's very, 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 very hard for me to describe the smell of heaven or the taste of heaven, mainly because of deterioration. And what I mean by that, things are dying here on the planet. And whether we realize it or not, we're always trying to filter through that death. You know, whether you realize I'm in a building right now and it's deteriorating, you know, even though it looks new, it's deteriorating. And whether I realize or not, I'm smelling that. Well, in heaven, nothing's deteriorating. Nothing's falling apart. How do you describe the pureness of the smell there? I've heard people say it smells like flowers. And I could tell you that too. But still, you would have that deterioration getting in the way of the pureness of what that flowers or those flowers smell like. Let me tell you something that happened to me in Kentucky, which is close to where you live at. I was up there ministering one time. And this guy came up to me after I had shared that it was hard for me to really tell you what it smelled like. He said, I can tell you what it smelled like. I can tell you what it smelled like. And he said to me, it smelled like fried chicken. And I literally looked at him and said, you must have met the colonel there. You know, I'm in Kentucky, Kentucky Fried Chicken. It just fit really well. And I don't know why he smelled it that way. I'm thinking, whatever is the best smell you can think of, when you come back, you're going to use that smell to try to describe what heaven is. And maybe fried chicken was his best smell. You know what I mean?
And they say that your sense of smell is one of your greatest senses, you know?
Yeah.
But it sounds like everything is in the purest form.
In the purest form.
Yeah, and that includes love. That includes the love of the Father.
Yeah, the love was, you're saying that, you know, many people ask me, what was your greatest experience there? And really, a lot of times, whatever I'm talking about is the greatest experience at the moment. But I tell you something. When I got there, I always tell people, I didn't go to heaven to be in heaven. I went there because the Father and Jesus is there. People say, what about the Holy Spirit? He was on the inside of me. He didn't jump out when I got there and say, I got to go get somebody else. But I wanted to be where Jesus is. I wanted to be with the Father. And I remember coming upon Jesus, and I did exactly like the Bible says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. I went down on my hands and knees before him. I really didn't even see his face at the beginning. I was looking at his feet, and all I could say was, you did this for me. And what I meant by that, I was only there because of what he had done. You know, I didn't experience death because of what he had done. I had this great joy because of what he had done. So I just wanted to say, you did this for me. And I felt like all of heaven, knowing others he made it for also, was just made for me. And what was coming off of him was this light. I always tell people, just like John said, he was brighter than the noonday sun, but I could look at him. And the light that was coming off him was like him, and you know, ocean waves coming off the ocean. And every moment it was coming was his love for me. And it was more powerful every moment. I didn't know this until I experienced this. His love for me is still growing. I thought he just loved me and that's it. No, by the time I tell you he loves me more than that. If I was to say he loves you more than that. You know? And I didn't know that, but I was experiencing the love coming off of him like in waves. And then this is what got me. I knew I was created for that love. I don't know how to tell you any different than that. I was created to receive that love. I didn't have to adjust. I didn't have to process it. All I had to do was accept it, you know.
Wow. And we forget that, Dean. We forget that because that is what he wants. He wants to us to experience the love. It's not by works. It's not by doing. And, get the love, receive the love first.
Yeah, I wish we could grab that. You know, coming back, people always want to know all the other things that I experienced in heaven. And I can tell you about the plants. I can tell you, people always want to know what Jesus looks like. I can tell you what he looks like. What is the Father? They ask all those questions. And I can do that. But I'm telling you, when you get there, none of that's going to matter. What's going to matter is the love that he has for you. It is going to be the chief thing. And you're going to say to yourself, I don't care what he looks like. He loves me. I don't care about heaven. He loves me. I don't care about this. He loves me. That's what's going to hit you more than anything else is love, because you're going to have the pureness of what love really is. And you're right. You know, I knew my good works didn't get me there and my bad works didn't keep me out. You know, it was the love of God that got me there. And because he died on the cross. And sometimes I hear people say, but I accepted him at a young age. But he was here 2,000 years ago. He came after you over 2,000 years ago. I always tell people, he has already chosen you. He just wants you to choose him. And I know people say, well, what about this thing? If we don't do this, if we don't do this, I'm thinking, I don't do it because it gets me something. I do it because I love him. That's why I do what I do.
That's so good. I know it starts with the love first. I think that's the premise, is, and everything else is just is a byproduct of the love.
Yes.
So when you were there, that was what stood out the most. So yes, tell us, you saw angels, you did see plants, trees, there was our food.
Yes.
Go ahead and tell us a little bit about the details of heaven, of course.
You know, there are plants, there are beings that we call angels. They are redeemed there, those that have been on the planet one time and left the planet, and because they had known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they were there also. So you see all of that. The one time I had a question the other night, a little kid asked me, what does it look like? I said, it looks like this planet, but without anything dying. How do you describe that? And I'm out here right now in Virginia. I'm in close to woods, and the woods look pretty, even though the leaves are gone off the trees, you know? But there's dead branches everywhere. There's dead grass everywhere. In heaven, nothing is dying. The Bible calls, and you've heard this before, the Bible calls it moving from glory to glory. Everything is glorifying every moment, and it gets more glory and more glory and more glory. And there's no end to that. And that's where you were created to be. That's what God created you to be in, was that glory. So in saying that to you, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, the kids all the time, I say to them, I say, you know, the glory that God has for us was eternal glory. And we were created for that glory. And the entire realm of heaven is in that glory. So, man, it's even hard to describe that. But if you could look at a tree or a plant and you could look at it and just imagine nothing dying on it. The best way, I love it when kids color. You know what I mean? They color something without death. If you ever look at it, they're not coloring in death. And so nothing's dying to them. It's alive. And it might be multiple colors.
That's good.
One of my best things about heaven is there's multiple colors. Colors, people always say, colors that we don't even describe on the planet. Yes, you're right. They are. They're coming off the Father. They're coming off Jesus all the time. But let me tell you this. The best way, you guys live in an area now where you see the changing of the seasons and you get those fall colors and the bright reds and some blues and some purples on the trees. You know how the trees really look? That's how heaven is all the time, but the leaves never fall.
Goodness. I would just think that you have this permagrand just looking at everything and just absorbing it all. It's just unfathomable to me.
Well, it is, and it was made for you. That's what you really, you come to understand how personal God, because he doesn't need it. He's perfect. He doesn't need any other stuff, but he made it for you. He made that realm for you to be there for eternity. Is that good news or is that good news?
I mean, come on. Talk about something to look forward to and having hope. So,
yeah.
Dean, can you, you know, a lot of people want to know, I've lost family members. And did you see family members? Did you have people there to talk to?
You know, that was not my belief system. So we'll start off there. I didn't believe when you got to heaven that it really mattered if your family was there or not, because you're all the family of God. And here I am in heaven. Jesus is before me. As I said, as I went down on my hands and knees, I didn't get to see the rest of them because I looked up, but I looked past him. And on the other side of Jesus is my family. My grandmother Mary was out front, and behind her were other relatives that I had been on the planet with. And then behind them was generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. And I thought, wow, you know, they all came to greet me in. That's what they all came to greet me into heaven. And the way I describe them, because people want to know what do they look like, they don't look old anymore. And they look better than young. People say they look young. They look better than that. The moment you look at them, they're beautiful. And the next moment, they're more beautiful than that. And the next one, you can't even really capture it. How beautiful they are, because by the time you think they're beautiful, they look better than that. So I say that to people, but this is the way I describe them. And because this is their essence, they were shiny. They had pure joy and they had a big smile. And the reason they were shiny is because Jesus Christ was shining out of them. Okay. That's why, you know, if we could see the spirit that we are, us that are born again, we would be shining, and it's the reason is because Jesus Christ would be shining out of her. When I say pure joy, I have two ways to describe that. One is those that have become born again. There's great joy that comes in that process of being born again. The second way that I explain it is us that have had a child, and we held the child in our arms. I remember when I did, I couldn't describe the joy I had. It was unspeakable joy, as the Bible would call it. And the third way, they had a big smile. The smiling was because they had no worries. And I thought, yeah, we had no worries, no nothing going wrong on this planet. We all be smiling too. That was a fun, fantastic in itself. But listen to this. I thought, oh, my family is smiling at the same time, and it's not fake. You know, like Thanksgiving just got done. People did the family pictures, you know. And then doing those family pictures, I can tell you right off the bat, some people were faking it. You understand what I mean? Because they were smiling. But in that case, every family member was smiling, and it wasn't fake. And I always tell people, you know, you're in heaven when your entire family is smiling and all at the same time.
That is so true, huh? And that could only be in heaven. I don't see that here.
Yeah. You know, and it made me happy because my dad went home to be Jesus a few years ago, and he always smiled. And I thought one of the biggest things that I had that no one else in my family probably had were these words. I could say, man, Dad's going to fit in because he loves smiling.
I love that. He's right at home, huh?
He's right at home. You know, people even to this day, they say, I remember your dad. He always had that big smile. So well, that really got me.
That's so amazing. So you were there. You got to see your family. That's neat. Generations upon generations.
Yeah.
And so at what point you thought you were staying? Did you think?
I thought I was staying. I thought I was staying. You know, three times he told me to go back, and it was the third time that I really left. The other two times when he told me to go back, I felt like, to be honest with you, when I got to the point where I could leave that realm and to enter back coming to this realm, I remember thinking my body wasn't ready, and I got to stay, and I thought for sure I was staying. I tell people all the time, I didn't go to heaven to tour heaven for anybody or to come back and tell people. I went to heaven because I thought I was staying. That's what I tell people all the time. You know, one little boy, he got it. He said to me, he came up to me, and you may have heard the story. He was 9 years old. He said, you died? I said, yes. He said, you went to heaven? I said, yes. He said, you came back? I said, yes. And then he looked at me with these beautiful eyes. I remember they were brown eyes even. And he said, sorry. That's what he said. I thought that was so cute because he got it. You know, coming back to the planet was not the joy that most people think it is. Because I was in a place where everything was right. The other thing I want to tell you about my family that I think is important to everyone that has family there, and whether you realize it or not, all of you have family there, was my grandmother Mary, when Jesus was saying to me, no, it's not your time, go back, she looked at me and she said these words, bring as many of us back with you as you can. And she was talking about family. Sometimes people think she was mentioning everybody on the planet. But she wanted her entire family there to be with her forever. I always tell people, you really get to experience family the way God meant it to be. You know what I mean? And on the planet, we get glimpses of it. But in heaven, you get to be with family forever, and you all get along. Nobody has no issues. No one has to bring up anything in the past and say, you did this to me, or you did this to me, that type of thing. You know, so just to let you know. When my grandmother said that to me, one of my biggest desires is to get as many of my family members there to be. And people say, well, they don't listen to me. And I always tell people, write them your story. Tell them what Jesus did in your life. Don't preach to them. You know what I mean? Don't bring up a bunch of scriptures. Just tell them what Jesus did. They can read it and crumble it up and throw it in the trash. But now it's in them and God can use it.
Wow, that's so good. What keeps coming to my mind too, Dean, is this life. I think of James in the scripture where it talks, it's just but a vapor here for a little bit and then vanish.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you were saying, your spirit had already left. That was just the body. And so this time here is so short, and eternal life where we're going to be forever, like your grandma Mary.
Yes.
We want it to be there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I want, you know, that's some of the things that I experienced. I did also experience something I think you would enjoy. We were all called around the throne of God. Everybody always thinks when you get there, all you're going to do is sing. And the reality of I came to understand what true worship is, and that's doing the will of God. If you're doing God's will, you are worshiping him. So in heaven, you're doing the will of God. So anything you do, you're worshiping him. Then there comes a time when you can worship him in song or praise, as we say. And I remember coming, being called around the throne of God with all of heaven, everything in heaven, you know, and we all came around and we told our Father, I love to say it this way, we told our Father how much we love him. That was great. I mean, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed seeing other creations of God give praise to Jesus and the Father at that moment. It was great, you know.
So there was a lot of singing and just thankfulness and love. And you know,
yeah.
People think, well, what am I going to do in heaven? But you're not going to be bored, huh?
Oh, no. Bored. The word bored does not exist. Most people don't realize that. They think of, I'm going to get bored. Joy is dominant there. And so if anything, you're just going to be joyful from one moment to the next moment to the next morning. You're going to be moving from that glory to the next glory to the next glory. You were created for that. I think on the planet, it's hard for us to grasp that because we're always thinking that moment of joy or that moment of happiness is going to go. You know, we know we enjoyed it at that moment. You know, it's like people take a vacation, they go to the ocean or they go somewhere and they go, oh, I'm enjoying it. But they also have in their mind, well, come tomorrow, I got to get and leave. Well, in heaven, that thought does not even exist. Is that good news?
Yeah, that sure is. Wow. Yeah, it's definitely something otherworld. It's not like it is here. And
yeah.
And I know it's sometimes you don't have even the words probably to articulate how glorious it is. But just to be able to get this, to be able to share with people, to give them the hope and excitement,
yeah,
and a better place and all the things that, you know, we hope it to be, you're saying, yes, indeed, it is that and much more.
And much more. And one of the reasons I use the scriptures is because I'm really way short in the English language of explaining it. And I really believe you that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If I can give you a scripture, then you can read the word and God, he can take you even further. If I just can tell you a story, then it's my story. But if I give you a scripture, it is his story that I'm giving to you.
Mm. That's good. Thank you. So Dean, when you were worshiping the Lord and you felt the love from everybody, what was the throne room like? What did you see with your eyes? What can you share a little? I know it's hard to explain, but maybe share a little bit about that experience.
You know, a lot of times people always ask me about the throne room. It seemed like all of heaven was the throne room. I know we think about a building with a room and a chair on the inside of it. I even thought that until I got there. The Bible says, Jesus says this, you know, heaven is God's throne and earth is his footstool. The Bible said that in several places, Old Testament and New Testament. It really never describes a building or a room like we think it describes. It seemed like everywhere, because you can see the Father in Jesus anywhere you are in heaven. That's outside of our thinking. I know a lot of people are right now saying, how can that be? Because we're thinking earthly and not heavenly. You know, he's omnipresent. You know, he can be everywhere all at the same moment at the same time. You know, so we have a hard time with that. So when you're saying that to me, I experienced it, but I remember it was not a room like most people say. I hear people say that. Some of my colleagues say that. And I can't even find that in the word that says it's a room. Usually it's talking about a throne. And we assume that it was a room, you know, that type of thing. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody. You can believe that because those things don't get you into heaven. Jesus does. You know what I mean? You're going to find out there's a ton of stuff that we think is one way, but when we get there, we're going to find out is another way. And we're going to thank God, I am so glad that it wasn't the way I thought it was, and it was a different way. And I'm glad I came to know you as Lord and Savior, because that's what gets you in. All that other stuff don't get you in. So in saying that to you, yes, I saw the throne. I saw the Father on the throne. I saw Jesus Christ literally enter in that realm of where the Father was. And so I saw it all. It's more beautiful than you could imagine. You want to hear something? Can I share something with you? And this may go a little bit, but it's in the word. I'm not going to share it outside of the word about the throne, because I think it's so cool, because everything's alive in heaven and nothing's dead. I tell people that all the time. There's a scripture in Nehemiah that talks about that. Nehemiah, I think it's 9:6, that talks about how everything in heaven is alive. And oh, It says, Nehemiah 9:6 says, you alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, along with all their multitude of stars, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that are in them. You impart life to them all, and the multitude of heaven worship you. So just saying that to you, I want to describe this next scene because I'm a Bible reader. And here I am. I'm experiencing these things in heaven. And I get back on the earth, and I'm reading the Bible, and I say, oh, there it is. There it is. And it's found in Revelation 19:1-5. And I'm just going to read the fifth verse. It says, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and all you who fear him, both small and great. And what it was is the very throne that God was sitting on was giving him praise. And that's what it says. I used to think it was God saying it. But if you hear the words, it says, praise our God, all you his servants. I know some of you that, but it's in the word of God. And I experienced it. Wow. I had to share that because sometimes we kind of walk through me and I experience so much, but I always tell people 99% of everything I experience, I can find in the word of God. And it isn't me manipulating scripture to get it that way. You know what I mean? It is literally, it's in there. Do I always understand it all? No, I'm not God, but it's there.
Mm. Wow. And also I think of like any part of heaven, like you said, it's kind of everywhere, the throne room or, just trying to understand that.
You can say that. It's okay. But I'm just, when you get there, you kind of, because God is everywhere. And wherever he is, his throne is. Is that cool? You know, most of us don't think that way, but he cannot, there's a lot. There's a whole lot. I won't go into more detail. You know, as you said earlier, I'm always trying to reach those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So my job is not to wow people with the knowledge I have. My job is to make sure that people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I know this. When you get there, you're going to see it anyway.
And unlike, we're going back really quick to our senses and seeing things. Is it different there in heaven, like the world here on earth where we're eating and we're, you know, are people playing games? Or I mean, what are people doing? Are they just?
That's a good question. You know, everything leads back to, I believe God has given us all gifts to enhance someone else or to serve someone else. Servanthood is the highest. We could ever get. And, you know, most people don't look at it that way. We look at being served. But the reality of the Bible, Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be a servant. And so in saying that to you, so I believe God has given us gifts to serve somebody else. It may look here different on the planet. It fits a certain way on the planet. But when you get to heaven, whatever that is that God has given you, you'll be able to use there in serving somebody, and it may look different. You know, I love to encourage people. I love to build people up. I just love to do that. That is a gift that God has given me ever since I was a little kid. I've had that gift. So in heaven, most likely I'm going to be with people to be able to enhance what they're already doing and strengthening what they already are doing. Is that good news or is that good news?
Okay.
You know, so everybody has a purpose. If we look at when God blessed Adam and Eve back in the first chapter of Genesis, he used the word blessed, and then he told them their purpose on the planet and what they were going to do. And it's called works. Now, work really didn't get infected until the third chapter of Genesis, where then we find out, okay, there's this work right here we're going to do. We're going to have to work harder to do the work that God has wanted us to do. But really, you're still going to be doing things in heaven. I call it purpose. People would call it works, but it's going to be a blessing. It's not going to be a curse. It's going to be a blessing all the way. So when you get there, you're going to be doing something that you love to do to enhance others. Sometimes people think, I'm going to be fishing and I'm going to do a hobby and all that stuff. It's greater than any hobby. It's what God created you to do. It comes out of you naturally.
Absolutely love that, Dean, because sometimes many of us struggle with like, what is my purpose? Or I'm not even sure what I'm good at. And just like you said, everything is magnified to the nth degree there. So is your calling, your purpose. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
That's what you're hearing from me. And we all have to realize, even in the Bible, Paul described it, you know, as a body, you know, as body parts. Sometimes, you know, I think we want every body part to act the way we think every body part should act. You know what I'm saying? And yet I'm not that body part. And so I don't know how it's supposed to act, but God knows how it's supposed to act. Even in heaven, when you get there, we're still a part of each other. And what I do in heaven will impact you on what you do in heaven. The greatest thing about it is, though, we will do exactly what God wants to do. So the impact will always be life. Death doesn't exist there. So it will always be life. Here on the planet, there are things sometimes that we do that impact somebody else, but it doesn't bring life to them. It brings death to them. And that's because of who we are and what we are in the sense of the gift we have here on the planet. You know, here on the planet, we can use the gift for good and evil. There, it's only used for good.
I love that. And every person is uniquely formed and fashioned and created for a purpose. And no gift is better than another gift.
No gift is better. That's the other thing you come to really understand. No gift is better than the other gift. It may be different than your gift, but it's no better than your gift. I love this. This is one of the things I came back with. I didn't have this beforehand. I always tell people I am a part, not the part. And so wherever I go, even talking to you right now, I do my part, you do your part, and it fits together. And so I wherever I go, whatever church I'm speaking in, whatever venue I'm in, I always think I'm a part, not the part. And when my part's over with, someone else is going to do their part, but it's all God's parts. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. And when we're really in tune with in prayer and through relationship with him, which is what he wants, you're able to get all those downloads and do your part.
That's right. You're able to hear him and do your part no matter how big it may seem or how small it may seem.
Right.
You know, I was in that movie you probably heard about called After Death, and I filmed a big part. I ain't gonna say I didn't feel a big part. I feel the big part. But by the time they cut it down, it was a very small part. And I just thought to myself, all I had to do was my part. Whether it's a big part or a small part, doesn't matter. My part is my part. And other people did their parts. You know, and so God got the message across as he wanted to get it across. We may not think it's that way, but yeah. I know people that were impacted. Someone in your area texted me. And they said that they went to the theater to see the movie with their children, and they brought other dads and they brought their children. And one of the dads was afraid that his son, when he saw the movie, would be afraid of what he was seeing. But without his even prompting his son about it, the son brought up to him and said, "Dad, I'm no longer afraid of death."
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I thought to myself, all the parts that went into that, you know, whether there were a lot or little, God put it together. And if that's what came out of it, that one son, I know other people were impacted too. You know, understand what I mean? They say, I know that I don't have to fear death. When his dad thought he was going to see the movie and fear death, what mm-hmm. could we say? We don't know. Jesus knows, you know?
Yeah, that's so good. And so you wanted to stay there and Jesus said, son, it's time to go back. He had other plans. So tell us about your exit out of heaven.
The way he said it was, no, it's not your time. Go back. When he said it to me the last time, because he said it two other times before then, and I did leave to go, but my body wasn't ready. But the third time when he said to me, no, it's not your time to go back. I remember the words coming directly to me. Everything that was standing in front of me moved out of the way so the words would come to me. I remember when they entered in, I had peace, comfort come right into me. I felt like a soldier because I had been in the military before, but in the Air Force, and I felt like a soldier saying, yes, sir, that type of thing. But I also felt like he was saying to me, I need you there more than I need you here. And I just felt like, why wouldn't I do what he said? So I literally left there to come back to the planet. And I remember coming back. Once I left that realm, I felt like a baby crying really hard. I remember entering into the hospital room, you know, going through all the same things that I left and entering in the hospital room, hovering over my bed and looking at my body. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't know to this day that I better turn over because I don't want my eyes to go in the back of my head. You know, that's, you know, that I was thinking at the moment. You know, I don't think it really would happen. You know, I would have straightened up anyway. God would have put me back right anyway. But somewhere, and I laid into that bed. To this day, I remember that feeling of coming back into that bed and then feeling things from a fleshly point of view. You know what I mean? My hands, I felt different outside than I did inside. And so it was, and that took time to adjust to have those feelings again of this flesh all over me. But I remember, and I didn't want to come back, you know what I mean? And it took me time to adjust, my family time to adjust, because of what I was experienced, you know? And so I always think of people, I had to grieve my own death, you know? People don't realize something. I died. I was not the same when I came back. And I wasn't a terrible man when I left. But when I came back to this body, I was not the same. And I talked to many of my colleagues that have experienced this over the years. And I've said to them, you're not the same. You have to grieve your own death. And I probably wouldn't have known that, but I was a counselor by trade. So I knew the signs of grieving, and I went through them. You know, I went through those signs.
I've never heard it like that before, Dean, where grieving your own death, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you came back and you wanted to be there, and that was a death.
Oh, yeah. And you're not the same. You don't think the same. You know, most of us go through a process to get somewhere. You know, we did this step, we did this step, we did this step, we did this step. All of a sudden, I'm thinking one way, and the next moment, I'm thinking another way. And there's no process that said how I got there.
Wow. True. Like Camille had shared with me, you know, she, all the things that seemed to matter before she left her body didn't matter anymore. You know, the way we took vanity, different goals here on earth. Did you feel that too?
Felt that very much. I had to adjust to it. And how I adjusted is people did matter to me. So I had to say to myself, oh, that's beautiful to that person. That person really cares for that. I care for it too. That's how I was linking to things. It was through another person to be able to link, you know, into something. You know. After I came back, about 3 months later, I went back to work, and I remember going to work. Everybody thought, they were going to go to a memorial because they heard what had happened to me. And then I also, my job sent me to Hawaii. It was one of the things. And in Hawaii, I just remember there looking at the ocean and everybody around me saying how beautiful it was. And I was like, oh, this is nothing compared to heaven. So I'm thinking this place would be like a dump compared to heaven. That's what I was thinking in my head. You know what I mean? And everybody else was, oh, look how beautiful it is. Oh, the sun. So I had to start adjusting and say, well, they think it's pretty. You understand what I mean? That's how I started.
Because I lived in Hawaii as well, and I used to think how gorgeous it is. And for you to say that, it's like, ooh.
But if you go to heaven, nothing's dying. Everything is you're living, and it's getting more beautiful every moment. So on the planet, we're headed in the opposite direction. Things are deteriorating. You know, if you go back to the places like me and you were talking about earlier, they look different. And a lot of them have gotten looking old, if you know what I'm talking about. Even the land looks different, you know. So, and that's because the generations on the planet. Sin is in the planet. Things are dying on the planet,
right.
You know. Where in heaven, it's the opposite direction.
Wow. So I know when you came back, you went through what you were explaining just now emotionally and everything. And physically, the Lord supernaturally.
Yeah. I tell people a lot of times my wife and others prayed for me. I call it a general because she kind of put out specifics on how to pray for me, especially when I came back and they had put the tube down my throat, you know, because my lungs weren't operating. My kidneys had stopped operating. They really didn't expect me to live. And yet God, because of miraculous things that happened, I got healed, you know, miraculously. But I really believe that's because my wife and others prayed for me. She battled for me. She really guarded me. Two things I love to tell people is that, you know, I lost oxygen to my brain for an hour and 45 minutes. You cannot deny that. That's medically documented. And usually if you lose oxygen to your brain from 5 to 8 minutes, you end up with brain damage. That's just the norm. And yet I have an hour and 45 minutes where I have no oxygen to my brain. I have no brain damage. I really believe that's because my wife and others prayed and God healed my brain. You know, even the doctors that come to my wife and they said, he probably will have brain damage. And she said, it doesn't have to be that way. And what she was saying, she believed in a God that could do it miraculous and he could take care of it. You know, so that's one of the things that I really, you know, say that her and others pray for. The other thing that really got me is that she guarded me. She wouldn't let anybody in the room after I came back that didn't believe that I could be totally healed. And there were people that came that started speaking doubt and discouragement. And she would say to them, visiting hours is over. She wouldn't let them be around me because she only wanted people that were around me that believed that I could be totally healed. And God healed. And according to the medical records, this is documented, 29 different things went wrong with this body. And God healed all 29 and didn't leave a residue. all that's documented. I always tell people, you can say I didn't go to heaven. You can say I'm making this story up, but you can't say I made that up because all that is documented.
Wow. I just love your wife and her faith, and her prayers were answered.
Yes, very much. You know, yeah, you're right.
Love that. So, Dean, I know that you since have written several different books. Can you tell us where people can find you and a little bit about your books and your website?
The website is called DeanBraxton.com, just my name, and then a .com. And on it, you can find shopping area, and there's several books in there. They're in audio books, they're in the Kindle books, they're in the paperback form. So they're in all these three forms. There's five of them in all. Four of them are ones that I have put together, and the fifth one is Marilyn put together. And they're called In Heaven. That tells you similar to what I shared with you today and many of the things that I experienced there. I also have it in Spanish. You can order it and get it in Spanish also through the website. The other one is called Deep Worship in Heaven. I always say that's the one which I told you earlier when we came around the throne of God and we told him how much we love him. I do the best I can to describe the detailing of that process of what happened during that time. Another one is What It Feels Like to Die. We touched on that off and on of what I went through the process of leaving my body and going to be with the Father and Jesus in heaven. Another one is called I Need You There, Sing the King. It's a coloring book, storybook. You can say it for kids. It's really my shorter version of the In Heaven book in you know, as a coloring book and a storybook. But when I say I need you there, saying the king, I'm really trying to emphasize that God needs you here to finish your purpose, you know, on this planet before you go there to be with him. And then the last one is A Woman's Stand. It tells you what my wife did to get the results she wanted. I always say she did just want her husband back on the planet. She wanted me totally healed of everything that went wrong with his body. So she battled. She directed others how to pray for me and look at the results. You know what I mean? Look at the results.
Yes.
You know? So those are the books. And you could go on DeanBraxton.com and get them and you know, order them and everything like that. Like I said, the Spanish book and the coloring book are not in the audio form. So, you know, you can get those in audio, but the rest of them are in audio form and you can download them. So.
Okay. Thank you. Dean, it's been such an amazing
delight
and lovely to have you. And I really appreciate you sharing with us today this incredible story. And finally, Dean, when I hear your story, I hear hope. Yes. What final words would you like to share with us today?
Well, you know, the final words I had always emphasized earlier. And for those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he has chosen you. He just wants you to choose him. I know there's a lot of hoops that people say you need to jump, you know. But my Bible tells me if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that, you know, he has been risen, you shall be saved. He has already chosen you. The rest of it, he will take care of. There's things that I know you're saying, well, I got to stop doing this or this is what I'm doing. He'll help you do that. But you got to have that hope. The second thing I want to give people hope, those that have left the planet that you know that knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you'll see them again. You know, when my dad left the planet, as I use the word left the planet, I will see him again. I have that hope. I will experience my Father again for eternity, and I will experience family the way God really meant for it to be experienced, you know. And I just look forward to that time when we're all there together and we're experiencing it the way God really wanted us to experience it. Is that good news?
Amen. On that good news, Dean, let's pray for each of us to accept this precious gift and to experience the hope of heaven. Would you pray for us?
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. First of all, just thank you for the ministry that is being portrayed today. Father, I ask you to bless my host and her family in blessings that only you can give. You said that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. You said that you'll do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we ask or think according to the power that resides. And that's what I'm asking, that it even goes past the desires I have. Father, for those that are listening, I'm asking you to touch them, that they feel your presence, that they feel your presence in the way that you love them. Father, you know and I know that when they are loved, they're not just being loved in a general manner. They are being loved in a creative manner on the way that you created love for them. So, Father, I'm asking you to do that. I'm asking you to heal those that need to be healed, not just physically healed, but emotionally healed.
Yeah.
Something's happened in their life. Their heart is hurting. I'm asking you to bring that peace that passes all understanding in them and let them know that they have the hope. That they have the hope that you created for them. I thank you, Father, because all this is what you want for them. It's easy to ask for things that you want for people because I know that you want to give it to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, may nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up, but right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Amen and amen again. What wonderfulness it is to sit with him in the morning and talk to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us wake up in a rush because we have to go. We have to go to work. We have to get things done. But when we get time to spend it with him, when I tell you it's a wonderful feeling, hallelujah, and we are grateful unto him. We heard Dean's testimony, and a lot of things he said registered with me. He said as he was going to heaven, prayers was passing him, going before him. I believe that. When he says a grandmother prayed for her grandchildren. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Even the older saints of God prayed for their grandchildren. My grandmother Maddie prayed the prayer of faith in 1925, my dad told me. And he said that prayer was for her children and for her grandchildren. And she asked the Lord, because she was sick and she was tired and she was headed on home to be with the Lord. And my dad said she asked that, you know, she would send somebody to stand in her place to do what she was doing. Well, it just so happened it wasn't going to be one of her children, but it was going to be me, the granddaughter of her youngest child. My dad was her baby. And so it's just amazing the way that God is. And I can remember even when I came to the Lord, I was scared. I'm going to be honest. I was afraid to die. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how he would do it. Because, see, I didn't fully have all my trust in him. And I was leaning to my own understanding. Yeah. And so when he said that he thought you die and then your spirit leave, no. That spirit leave that body and you dead. As soon as that spirit gone, you gone. But your spirit lives on. Whether it's a good spirit or a bad spirit, it's going to live on. And whoever you have yielded your members to, that's who you're going to spend eternity with. And I don't want us to forget these things. And I want us to remember hell is real. It's a real place. Really, it is. And it enlarges itself daily. And God don't want us, his people, his children, the saints of God, going to hell. He wants us to go back with him. The more within, the merrier it is for him. But just any and every old thing don't float around in heaven. We won't skate right off into heaven. And we won't slip and slide unless we've been purified. Unless we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Unless we believe God so loved us, he sent his only begotten son. Yeah. So we just got to, as they say in the South, crank it up more. In the North, they say start it up more. So we just got to start up more in us for God. It's worth it. And listen, it is so worth it. I can remember listening to a lady one time, and she said that she didn't know what took place when you died either. If I'm not mistaken, she died and came back. Or that spirit left that body and she came back. She said in her going, she got to like a river, if I'm not mistaken. And when she got there, when she looked, one of her relatives was there that she really loved and trust. And they helped her to get across. I said, that is simply amazing. And for me, that's just like God. But you know what? I believe the relative that she saw, I believe it was Jesus in the form of them, so she would be comfortable because she was familiar with them. And she didn't have to be afraid to go with them. And they had made it in. They had made it to heaven. And they come to greet her and to bring her in so she wouldn't be afraid. Now, to me, that's just like him. That is just like God, to make us feel secure and happy, to make us feel comfortable and trusting. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see it. I want to see what. Now, I want to go there. I want to be there. Yeah, I want to come back with them to judge the world and go back with them and live there throughout eternity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, the studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say this morning, please feel free. Press that number one and come in. And one thing about it, this new time, when I tell you that new time is running, it's like it's got feet and taking off running. Yeah, I looked a while ago, it was 3 hours I had to go. I look now 37 minutes and about 20, 19, 18 seconds. I'm like, wow, that time flew by. Yeah. And so I want to read this to while we wait and see if anyone want to come in. The title, the topic this morning was Stop, Release It Unto God. Stop, Release It Unto God. Stop and focus on God and his word. Believe it, trust it, and move on. This brought joy to me, and I wanted to share it again with you. And this is Luke chapter 7. I'm reading, you know, I'm going to start at verse 1. And when I get down to the good part that I want, well, to the part I want more attention on, then I'll share. Verse 1 says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Listen at this. In other words, speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Verse 7. This man going to talk about the authority he had. And he tell this one to go, and he go, tell that one to come, and he come. But when it come to believing on Jesus, and the miracles that he could do and the blessings he could do, he said it wasn't worthy that Jesus should come under his roof. But if Jesus would just speak the word, and that's what we need today. We need that kind of faith that we believe if God just speak the word, it'll be done. Because he spoke light into darkness. He said, said, let there be light, and light appeared. He spoke it. So if you speak to your situation, it'll change in the twinkling of an eye. If you speak to your situation, it will be new. Whatever the enemy is holding up, if you speak to it, the enemy got to loose it. Many times I prayed and I said, Lord, send Michael. Oh, Lord, send them fighting angels. Whoever Michael take with him, send the fighting angels to bring my blessing. Because I believe when God send Michael or any angel on assignment, when they go back, nothing is left. They leave nothing behind to determine, because God sent them on assignment, and when they get back, they want to carry a great report. Not just a good report, but a great report. And so he said, if you just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. We want to believe like this. We don't want to forget this. But I also am a man set under authority. Verse 8. Having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Did you hear that? Yeah. So look, we want to go back to the old path. This is the old path. Luke chapter 7. And we want to take a look around. And we want to remember the things of God. Speak the word over my situation, Lord. Lord, speak to my finances and increase it. Money makes me happy. Money makes me glad. Lord, I need a bigger house. Speak to my housing situation. Speak to the mortgage company. Lord, I need a loan. Speak to it. But God, I don't want to borrow money, because borrowing, you have to pay back and pay interest. Lord, I want you to open a financial miracle door for me. The earth is yours, Father. The fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I'm your daughter. I come to you as a daughter to her father. And Lord, I need you to move for me today. Whatever you need, if you got a deadline on some, Father, I need you to move by Friday. I need you to move by Monday. If you got a deadline on it. James says, he know how to give good gifts to his children. If the world know how to give good gifts, don't you know God have know how to give even better gifts? But many times we don't want those gifts. We want what the world got and what the world get. But see, what the world get, it's going to add sorrow. What we get from the Father, it won't add no sorrow. He going to give us joy, peace, and happiness. He's going to give us rest. He's not going to put any more on us than we can bear. He know how much. So whatever you're going through, he know that you can bear it. If you could not bear that trial, he wouldn't have gave you that one. He would have did it in a different way. He make things easy for us, over and over and over again. But we want to remember these blessings. Speak the word today. Stop. Release it unto God. Speak the word over your situation by telling God, Father, speak a word over this, that it'll change for me and I can find rest, because this is burdenous and heavy laden. It's burdening to me and heavy laden. I feel burdened down and I feel heavy. I don't have all the joy that I normally have. Give me rest. I'm taking my yoke upon you and learning of you. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Help me today, God. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And if I get in you and allow you to get in me, I'm going to see truth. And the truth will become my life. I learn to love truth. I learn to walk in truth. I can let this old person that used to be so evil and mean and unhappy go. Sometimes people are unhappy because of what they've been through. Sometimes people are unhappy because somebody did something to them. It's many reasons. But when we come to Jesus, he become our joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. He didn't give us a craziness. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And the more we seek him, the better we become. But it just don't come to you. You have to seek God. You have the desire to walk in the spirit that you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. We want to ask God to live through us. Let us, the flesh, die so that he can live. If ever there was a time to get it right with God, now is the time. I'm telling you, we're getting closer and closer. When all his word has been fulfilled, here he comes. And we don't know when that is. So we prepare daily for his return. We know not a day, not an hour when he's coming back, but we want to be ready. We want to serve others. The harvest is plenteous, but the labor's a few. I don't want to just serve because of my family. I don't want to just make sure my family is straight. I want to make sure anybody that's crooked gets straight. I want to make sure every sinner drop them sins and know that when you was a sinner, Christ yet died for you. Come on here. Under the bridge, there are people waiting. Some didn't know they was preachers. Some didn't know they were evangelists. Some didn't know they were prophets. Some didn't know they were bishops and apostles. Under the bridge, out in the homeless shelter, nobody had the gift to go out and let them know what was going on. I've had them on the sidewalk. One lady said, yeah. She said, I'm an evangelist. She said, but I backslid because I told her. She said, I was doing good and I was serving the Lord and the devil sent this man along. And he was tall and fine and good looking. And when I know anything, he was smoking crack and I started smoking crack. I said, and the Lord is bringing you out. She said, yeah, I believe that. I said, whether you believe it or not, he spoke it, it's happening. The next time I seen her, she was all fixed up sitting on the bench at the bus terminal because I used to go down there and take bag lunches and drinks every day for free. And she was sitting there and I looked, she said, hey, I said, hey, praise the Lord. And we talked for a few minutes. And I think I had socks. It had turned, you know, winter here. And I think I had bundles of socks. So I gave her some socks and some other stuff. And she caught a bus. Now, the last time I saw her, she wasn't in that kind of condition. But after God spoke, she got with God, and he brought her where she needed to be. And that's what we need. We need God to speak over our lives, over our situation. I don't want what man talking about, because without him, man can't do nothing. And with man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am grateful unto him that I know him for myself. And I'm striving for perfection in him because he's perfect. I'm yet trying to come up to code, come up to his standards 100%. I often think sometimes the scripture say we all have sinned and come short. That don't mean 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. That don't mean that mean today, March the 21st, 2024, we yet falling short. So we have much coming up to do. Somebody said, ooh, Bobby, you got favor. Ooh, Bobby, you got that. Let me tell you something. I got more coming up. Heaven is a special place, I said. And just in and everything is not there. We got to have the right way of thinking. We got to have the right way of doing things that pleases God. Whatever we do, we want it to please God. Lying. Yeah, let me tell you, and it's easy. It's easy to lie to keep from hurting somebody's feelings. But I learned they just have to have it hurt. Yeah. And that's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. The devil is no joke. He don't play no games like that. He mean the evil that he's doing. See, we'll do throw the rock and hide our hand. The day we don't want to do wrong, tomorrow we'll do it right and I mess with my child. I'll come over with the machete and cut your head off. I'll shoot you before I see you. The next day, I don't want to do nobody no wrong. See, the devil is not like that. He get one way and he stay that way. He hates you. He don't change it tomorrow. He want evil to befall you. He want it every day to befall you. He's not going to change it by Friday. That's the way we do things. He don't play like that. He is serious in what he hates you. He hates you. And it won't change. Many other people that say they went to hell, they could feel the evil and the hate from them demons that was down there working. He said the hate was so great for you. Why? You're in a better position. Why? You have a chance of going back with God when he comes. The man said he called us stupid humans. Because we got all we need to be spared from hell and won't use it. God is so good to us and we won't be good to God. We want to be good to our flesh. There's no good thing in your flesh. Flesh will mess you up and have you sitting in hell in one of them cell blocks. Have you falling down the deepest, darkest hole, so dark you can't see your hand before your face. Have you burning throughout eternity. The flesh will. That's why we have to turn it off. I have to battle mine. I come from a spot when you say something smart to me, I got something smart to say back. And if you say too much, it's a wallet game. He changed me from the inside out. I don't want to think like that no more. I come from a spot that where you say something to me, the cussing begin. And I meant what I said and said what I meant, but he changed me from the inside out. Well, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. But you don't stop right there. You continue to seek God. You continue to seek his word. You continue to walk according to his word, living in obedience the best that you can, praying that God will bring you all the way up to cold in him, where he's pleased. I went straight from earth to heaven. Woo! If I could get there, Lord, help me to get there. Help me to please your soul. Help me to get there. Help me daily and nightly to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. Help me to turn the world off. Help me to turn Barbara off and seek your face. Turn from my wicked ways. Father, you're going to hear from heaven. Forgive my sins and heal my land. My lands need some healing. It's not so much America as it is my land. Because America can't stand for me before God. I got to stand for Barbara alone. I wasn't born with America. I was born in America, but not with America. So when I stand before God, where I was born at won't come. I got to be there by myself. I got to give an account for every word, every deed. You've often heard me say, I'm making my own movie. I have the leading role. I'm the star in this movie. I'm producing it. I wrote it. Everything. And when I stand before him and he play it, what will he see? I can't accuse nobody. Well, Lord, I would have did it, but Sister Dot, that won't work. I would have did it, but Irene, that won't work. I don't care what it is. I really would have did it, Lord, but Jerry, nope, that won't get it. See, Lord, I would have went, but Sister Rita, what? Nope, no, ma'am. See, if Brother Anthony, nope. If Sion would have, Lord, my buddy, Pastor Dad, Lord, if Wicked would, nope. I can't bring nobody in on the bill. It's me and me alone. I got to give an account for me. And I can't accuse nobody else. Because the proof will be in the pudding. It's in the movie. Wicked wasn't there when I decided to lie. Wicked wasn't there when I decided to cheat. Nobody was there when I decided to fornicate. Nobody was there when I decided to commit adultery and do the things that's against God. Lord, have mercy. I got to stand for myself alone. So do we all. We all got to stand alone. There won't be no excuse. See, they use excuses now. Well, the boy acting like that because he didn't have a dad in the home. What? See, the girl, she acting like that because her mama put her out when she was 13. What? There will be no excuses when we stand before him. Come unto me, all that are burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. No excuses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Look how easy this is. If we'll believe on him, we won't perish but have everlasting life. Many didn't want to believe and don't want to believe. They need some kind of tangible stuff, signs and wonders. And that can be very deceiving. Hallelujah. Listen, let's pray. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And after prayer, we're going to our last song of the morning. And after the song, I won't be coming back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done this morning. We thank you for your word. For God, again this morning, Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, oh God, that word is settled in heaven. Sanctify us today through that word, for that word is true. Lead and guide us today, Father, in the right path for your name's sake. Father, make us over again. Give us a new heart and a new mind, Lord, to obey you to the letter. Stir up the gifts in us. You stir them up in us. The God, as you stir them, we'll get whole, and we'll stir the gifts up in us every day, all day, in the name of Jesus. We know not a day, not an hour when you're returning. So, Father, we want to prepare daily. We want to be ready when you come back. Thank you this morning for hearing and answering our prayers. Thank you this morning for looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. Thank you this morning for you're working it out for us today. Lord, we ask that you would speak the word over our lives, over our situations. And if you speak the word, God, it'll be done in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you this morning. We thank you. Father, we bring those again that are sick. Ask that you would heal today. Again, you heal all manner of sickness and disease. And we put it on the altar before you. Do it for your people today in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We ask this morning, Father, as we depart, that you would bless our going out, bless our coming in. Father, meet the need in our lives again today, according to your riches and glory, by your Son, Christ Jesus. Move by your Spirit today, in Jesus' name. Bless your people financially. Lord, it makes them happy. It makes them glad. Lord, they're able to get some things they normally wouldn't do. For your glory, that you'll be glorified. Do it today in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. March 21st, 2024, in Jesus' name. And look, this month already done ran out of here. The 21st of the month already. What, we got about 10, maybe 11 days left at that? I think about 10 days. And the month is gone. Yeah. But we thank God. Hallelujah. We thank God for time. All right, so we're going to this last one of the morning, and after the song again, I won't be coming back. Have a blessed day, in Jesus' name.
When all foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you're still reigning and you're still God. And when it feels all hope is faded, the heavy questions hit so hard, and though my soul may feel forsaken, you're still reigning and you're still God. Fix my eyes upon you, Jesus.